thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So I'll just give you a wee backdrop with regard to it. And you remember that Festus and Agrippa, Paul had stood before them, and Paul had appealed to Caesar with regard to just his situation, and he was being sent to Rome. And in chapter 27, we have the trip indeed to Rome, and it was quite wrought with trials and many, many tribulations. And from seeming calamity and disaster, great blessing ensued. And there could be someone in this church this morning, and maybe in your life you're going through a storm. And God, I hope, will speak to your heart this morning and just renew your faith and your trust in him, and that you will trust in him with all your heart. Amen. So as we read through the chapter, we just see all the problems and the troubles, indeed, that they went through, and the things that they did with regard to the ship to try to keep the ship afloat. And they were working, as it were, from their own knowledge and experience with regard, indeed, to doing that. And they cast out the tackle of the ship in verse 19, and they undergirded the ship with ropes in chapter 17 to keep it afloat. And in verse 20, all hope seemed to be gone. But praise God, God came to Paul, and we see there in verse 22, I think it was, 23, that an angel of the Lord stood with Paul and told him that he was going to save all that were in the ship, although the ship would be lost. And in verse 26, he said, but they must be cast on a certain island. Amen. And some of them feared they would fall on rocks. They cast out anchors for to keep the ship fast there in verse 29. And in verse 30, the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, some of them. But Paul said, unless they remain in the ship, they cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboat in verse 32 and let the lifeboat go. And then they took some bread in verse 35, and they were in the ship, 200 threescore and 15 people in that particular ship at that time. And after they'd eaten, lightened, and in verse 40, when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves onto the sea. And they loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made towards shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should that they that could swim would cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his own precious and fallible word. And the title I would give to this message this morning would be From Seeming Calamity and Disaster to Great Blessing. And I believe as we read this and we look at it, you know, the lesson to us here would be to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. And you know, sometimes we're in a storm and a disaster, it's hard to just get that really into our mind and to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we do like these sailors and do everything that we can for to try to rectify our situation. But folks, if we're saved this morning, I want to say that God is with us. And there's one with a trial in their life in this place this morning. I want you to really trust in the Lord, because remember that we read in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I remember the first time I was in a ship, and I wasn't very old. And I did a day trip to the Isle of Man, and it was lovely going over, but coming back that night or that evening, I'll tell you, it was rough. And I never was as glad to get onto terra firma and onto the dry ground as I was in all my life, for I was really, really very sick. And, you know, Paul and those with him were in a great storm, far worse than anything that I experienced in my lifetime when I was aboard any boat. But Paul was a great propagator of the gospel, and he preached to the then known world the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 19:21, we see he had a great desire for to visit Rome in order to take the gospel to the very heart of the empire at that time. And Paul, in our story, was having his desire granted, not in the way that maybe he expected. But as we look at it, you know, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And he was going as a prisoner, and Caesar was actually paying the fare, if we could put it that way. And you know, God has wonderful ways of doing things, and that alone, let that encourage us this morning, even for a start. But they were struck by this great storm, and I often wondered what Paul thought about whenever they were in this situation. Probably what we all would think about when things are really tough in life and things go against us, and they do at times. And in verse 20, we read, you know, that all hope had vanished. And with hope gone, these 276 people on this ship, I'm sure they really felt down and distraught about the situation. And very often, folks, in bad times, we wonder, why am I going through this? Where is God? Fear comes, and we think it's all up, and we think I'm finished. What am I going to do? And you know, the devil's stock and trade weapon is fear, if he can make us fear. And I'm sure Paul wondered too, for he had a golden opportunity to preach the gospel even here in Rome and to Caesar. But it seemed that that would never happen. But if only the storm would stop, I'm sure he thought, that God could stop the storm. Jesus has stilled the storm, but it wasn't in God's plan for to stop the storm at this particular time. And maybe the storm in your life this morning, I want you to know that you're going through. When you walk through the fire and through the water, God bless his wonderful name is there and he's with you. And remember that you're going through this morning and take courage from that very thing. But Paul wondered. And I'm sure he would think of the time when Jesus had stilled the storm and when Peter had walked on the waves in the storm. And the Lord, we often, when we're going through troubles, think, Lord, where are you? I need you. And I'm sure Paul thought, we need you. And these 276 people need you. Folks, trials don't say that we're out of God's will, and I want you to know that. I know as we think about Jonah, he was in the storm. But he was out of God's will. But Paul, as we read this story, we take comfort from the fact that he was completely in God's will. Paul here, could I say, in this particular storm, and he's in the will of God. Storms come to us. Trials come to us. And the trial of our faith, I want to tell you, is precious to the Lord. And God is over all. And he sends an angel there in verses 23 to 26 for to tell Paul, indeed, what's going to happen. You see, Paul was a man of prayer. And I believe in the church we need to be people of prayer. I believe we need more prayer. I believe we need to spend more time in the secret place with God and to shut to the closet door and speak to the Lord in secret. And the Lord who hears us in secret will reward us openly. I believe that's important. I believe that's one of the failures, indeed, in some particular churches. And you see, folks, God has another plan in mind. And he tells Paul, fear not. And if you read through the scripture, you'll find that fear not, you'll find it 63 times throughout the pages of God's word. And folks, we can learn from this. What do we learn? Well, Paul has been given a very clear message. But he and the others are still going through this storm. The situation is still bad. They're in an awful predicament at that particular time, and their situation is still grave, and it hasn't changed. But Paul has the word of God. And I believe that in trouble, if we seek God, we will get the word of God. He will drop that word into our heart. And there's still a lot of the storm to come, and they have to go through it. But the lesson for us here is fear not. When you cannot trace the hand of God, trust God. Philip said that in his commentary, and that's very, very, very important to do that. Many people jump ship whenever things don't work out for them. Oh, they just, Christianity, I'm done with it, and I've counseled people, and I have seen it so very often. And many jump ship when things get tough, and they leave the Christian faith. Don't jump ship, folks. I want to say that. Stand, having done all to stand, and stand by faith in the living God. That's important. There's no ship like fellowship with God, and I want to say that very categorically and plainly this morning. There's an old saying, when the going get tough, the tough get going. And Paul has still gone through the storm with the others, and will go through a lot more in the days to come. But he makes a choice that he's going to trust God whatever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we read in the scripture. In other words, faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of the things that we don't see. Faith gives confidence. And Paul is able to stand up before the people and tell them what God has said. And he declares, I have faith in God that this will happen just as God's angel has said. Folks, the fulfillment of every promise will come in God's own given time. Praise his wonderful name. Not one promise of God will ever fall to the ground. We don't have control over it, but we can hold on in faith in God. If you look at Habakkuk 2 and verse 2, God said to Habakkuk at that particular time, he said, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. Praise God. Friends, every individual promise, I want to say to any of us, will come in God's own time. And every fulfillment of prophecy that's in the Word of God will come in God's own given time. Amen. And in verse 26, we have what Paul said to the people there at that particular time in our chapter. And there we read with regard to it, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Amen. They were still in the storm. But howbeit, or nevertheless, we could put there. And the nevertheless, the howbeit, is the bit between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise that God has given. Amen. And it's so sad that many people have failed to stand when in between God's promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Amen. Fear grips and they don't stand. And patience can take its toll on any of us, and we can fall. Fear too. But you know, that gap between a promise and its fulfillment is like the gap between sowing and reaping that we read of in Scripture in James 5 and verse 5. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it till he receives the former and the latter rain. Amen. And so patience is a virtue, and sometimes the troubles and trials, they give us patience, as we read in Romans chapter 5. And you know, in Mark 4:24, it also tells us that the kingdom of God is like a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. Folks, I want to say this morning. We have to wait for the harvest of every promise. Amen. And the harvest will come. That's patience. That's faith in action. And it's important. And friends, if you fast forward this story, the deliverance of God, we see in chapter 28 and the fulfillment of the promise. And we can see the blessing that comes from faith when God fulfills the promises that he gives to us. And they're shipwrecked on an island in 28. There's great kindness from the people. There's a great warm welcome. And Paul is preserved by a miracle when a viper bites him. And through that, People see the almighty power of the almighty living God. And the main man of the island extends great hospitality. There's miracles. There's opportunities for evangelism. The people are saved. And everyone sick on that island are healed by the mighty power of God. You see, God does exceed and abundant above all that we can ask or think, and his ways are higher than our ways, and we need to trust him with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, and praise God, he will direct our path. Amen. And that was another side of God's promise to Paul. All that particular blessing, and God did far more exceeding abundant above all that they could even ask or they could even think. Bless his holy name. That's the God we serve, folks. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Bless his wonderful name. And brothers and sisters, there's a threatening storm in the church today. We have had this pandemic. There's all sorts of things going on. And we don't understand what's happening in the world. And we see a lot of things put up on social media and so on. Let's just trust God. Amen. You know, groups are working hard to strip away from our influence, amen, the things of God and the things of this world, amen. And far too long, there has been a decline in numbers and the churches and so on. And you know, sometimes we wonder about it all, amen. And sometimes God is left out. Immorality, can I say, and the lack of God-centered purpose are bad things. And too many churches are working hard to just keep afloat. And we can see that all over the land, folks. An epidemic could be the very thing that will bring a change as people are made to think. Amen. And that problem that you're facing in your life, God's maybe trying to speak and to bring blessing into your life as he did to these people in this ship. Sometimes we, by our own efforts, try to hold together what God wants to break up. Often we act as though we were the only sort of bastions of truth that are left. We're a wee bit like Elijah. I am left. And if we don't stand, everything's going to fall. Folks, God's in control. Bless his wonderful name. Let's trust him. And these sailors were putting ropes under the ship to try and hold it together. We see there in verse 17. But you know, in verse 22, the ship was going to be lost. Amen. And they were out of God's will. And we need to hear from God, folks. It's important, I believe, that we hear from God. And this old ship, you know, it has served its purpose. And God knew what to do. And we need to be relevant to the world today. We need to see God, or the world needs to see God in us. And they need to see that God is with us, just as those people on the island did. Luther's first reformation was about belief, what the church believed, but this didn't bring all the truth. Many denominations got stuck as God moved, amen, and they wouldn't move on, and the more truth that was revealed, and the baptism and the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit and so on, many churches wouldn't move, indeed, with the truth as God revealed it to different people. And if you talk, for instance, about the gifts of the Spirit and about being filled with the Spirit, sometimes in many of the denominations look on you as if you had two heads. Amen. But folks, God's real, and the anointing of God is real, and I tell you, it's wonderful. As the old Scotchman said, I'm sure you've heard it, it's better felt than telt, and we thank God for it. And you know, God has tried to break up many of the old establishments. And he sort of would say, indeed to us all, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches and what the Spirit says to us. God could be trying to break up something maybe in our own lives at times. There's no holiness much more in the churches either. And that's a sad thing too when we think about it in these days, indeed, in which we live. Amen. And, you know, what's holiness? Well, that's another message. Amen. I see brother against brother. And when you look at social media, some of the things that are put up, a Christian puts something up, somebody disagrees with them. well, it doesn't look too Christian what's said. Let's honor the past and learn from it. But let's never be controlled by the past, folks. Old wineskins, I want to say, can't stand the fermentation of the new wine that God wants to pour out in this day and generation. Our old mindsets and influences, they'll not cope with the challenge of all the different ethnic groups in our country. And God could be trying to do a new thing. I believe he is. And we need to noise abroad the gospel. Now look what they had to do to survive. And I'll be as quick as I can with this. Amen. In chapter 27, verse 18, the cargo was thrown overboard. The cargo was probably the profit from the trip. Amen. And what they would get whenever it would pay for the sailors and wages and everything else. Probably was. But what was important before the storm doesn't matter now. It could be something in your life that you're holding on to. And it's not important. Not important. Let go. Let God have his way. The storm changed their priorities, especially where money was concerned. Amen. And you know, the churches could come through just many a thing. And in our lives, we come through many a thing. But God is working. Praise his wonderful name. He's working to bring blessing. You know, the church sometimes reminds me of the strands of unionism in our country. One aim, but no togetherness. Togetherness with God's people, folks, is vitally important. And I'm not trying to be political in any sense of the way. Up there in Stormont, they have all their own little petty differences. No unity. And the country's floundering. And let that be an example to us. The church is like that. There's no endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as Paul would exhort us to do in Ephesians. Amen. And I'm sure no church wants to be a rival to the true God. Let's remember that we're servants. We're not masters, folks, but we're servants of the Most High God. Let's remember that. And if there's something in our life that we need to let go of, let's let go of it. You know, we will give an account of our stewardship. Remember too, God loves a cheerful giver. And God doesn't just give. God is a giving God. Out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And if we love the Lord, folks, we'll give and we'll give to his work. And in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 indeed to 19, is a great read on the grace of giving. Praise his name. In verse 19, we see the ship's tackle was got rid of. You know, the tackle is the machinery needed to do the work of sailing. And of course, it didn't work anymore. And overboard it had to go. You know, that many of the churches, you know, they have developed some very complicated machinery for to make the church run. We have committees, we have programs, we have constitutions, we have books, and we have denominations, and we have rules, and we have all sorts of things. But a lot of the machinery has become redundant. And if God wants to do away with something, let God do it. If God wants to do something new, amen. We need to hear from God, folks. We need to hear from God. And we need to let go. We need to let God have his way. But remember, Jesus said in Matthew 13:52, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. And then third, the lifeboat was cut away. You know, some wanted to jump ship, and they made to put down this lifeboat as if they were going to do something. But Paul said, you know, unless they stay in the ship, they'll be lost. Amen. And you know, people do that. They jump ship, they give up. And I want to say this to you, no matter what the situation is or ever is in your life, stay in fellowship, stay in relationship, stay in companionship, stay in comradeship, stay in stewardship, stay in soldiership and in citizenship with heaven, in friendship, stay in worship. And you'll never be in any hardship that you can't cope with, because God, I want to tell you, will be with you in those ships. Amen. And you'll be in God's starship, hallelujah, bound for heaven and for home. You know, sometimes we get into our own little lifeboat when things are against us. And we try to do this and we try to do that. But folks, we need to cut them away and commit indeed to God. Amen. And let God have his way with regard to our lives and so on. Amen. I'm almost finished. I hope I'm not boring you. But there's just one or two other wee things. Building through souls is important. Amen. And we need to really take the gospel into this world. Let's grow in favor with God and his people and develop a kingdom mentality and go the Bible way. And then God will command a blessing. We have the greatest message I want to tell you and the biggest mission that's in this world. And we need a united front to see it through. And then we see the anchors were cut. Four anchors had been lowered there in verse 40, fearing they would hit rocks. Fear got the better of them. And they didn't want to move any farther. Anchors are for that, to hold you down, to hold fast. But if they hadn't cut the anchors, they would never have reached the place that God had prepared for them. Amen. It's amazing the anchors that have kept many churches from moving on into the blessing of God and the place that God has prepared for them. Look at the historical churches and see their anchors. And look at some of the modern churches and see their anchors. And friends, the anchors have names and they've been used time and time again. There's the anchor of fear. It holds. It holds us. There's the anchor of tradition. It holds us. Holds us. We need to hear from God and move with God. There's the anchor of pride. There's the anchor of complacency. There's the anchor of laziness, unresolved issues, the anchor of unforgiveness, and we could go on. And it takes great courage to comfort or confront these and cut them away. But the only way to progress and to God's plan for the church is to cut those anchors. Amen. And fifth and last, the rudder was untied in verse 40. Of course, the rudder steers so the destination can be reached. Let God have his way, folks. Let God be the rudder. Let God be the rudder to steer. You know, when we find something good, we want to hold on to it. And we fight to keep it. Even though maybe sometimes in God's economy it becomes redundant. But listen, as you read that story, you'll find they couldn't hoist a sail and commit to the wind that would blow them into God's prepared place until they untied that rudder. Amen. We need to not tie God's hands. We need to let the rudder indeed steer. And look, they took time as well to break bread, and they took time to be refreshed. Amen. There's so much in this story. It's a wonderful story. And it was a physical refreshing. And then it was time to hoist the sail, to commit to the wind that would blow them to where God wanted them to be. And the 276 of them were saved just as God had told them. The church has received many wonderful promises, folks, from God. And we need to put God's word into action in our lives. We're living in survival mode, our mode. Amen. When we should be moving forward. And you know, they are trying to bring in laws, and we know it. They're trying to stifle the church. Can't counsel people really and pray for them now. Amen. And the world seems to be against the church and they don't want God. But praise God, the end is not yet. And our God is almighty. Bless his name. And we need the wind of the Spirit to blow us where God wants us to be. And we need God as the rudder for to steer our life and to steer our churches. Only God's miracle working power working through the church will make people recognize the reality and the almightiness of God, even as these people, when they were cast on that island, did. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. Praise God, he's the same forever. Amen. And are we willing to cut all anchors and have a multi-experience like Paul and like those on this ship? Let's get rid of the lifeboat mentality too. And hoist our sail to catch the wind of the Spirit. And let's go for everything that these sailors let go of. Amen. Amen. Folks, whatever it takes, let's press on and get out of the calamity we're in at present and get into the place of great blessing where the Spirit of God is moving and God will move. I believe that with all my heart. The pandemic and that storm may be in your life. Amen. It seems a calamity, but you hold. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And I want to tell you, God will bring the blessing and it's time. He never fails. Praise his wonderful name. The Lord bless you, and I hope in some way that this morning I haven't been too long and that this has been some sort of an encouragement indeed to you in these days. The Lord bless you real good. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.